Welcome to the Body Meets Mind podcast, philosophies and strategies for an elevated life. I'm Tom.
And I'm Paulie. We interview world authorities and experts in health and wellness optimization, psychology and spirituality.
And we don't mind chewing the fat either, just the two of us.
If you feel like being part of a casual yarn about self-awareness and growth, pull up a chair because the coffee's still hot.
We'll see you on the inside. I'm here, as always, with my good friend, Paul. Paul, how are you, sir?
I'm doing very well, Tom. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. You just informed me that you're turning 41 next week. Mate, happy birthday. I know we'll do a show on the day as well. Actually, no, of course we won't do, because I'm assuming you'll be spending good quality time with your family, friends, and loved ones.
Well, it is a Sunday, so I don't know if I, you know, are we going to be getting triple time?
Triple show podcast.
If we do the podcast, we're going to be getting paid triple time by whoever's paying us to do it.
Exactly. The forces that be.
The man. Mate,
the man, exactly. As a very quick segue, how was your Father's Day?
Father's Day was awesome. It was really lovely. Got to spend some time with my parents and my family, my immediate family, or the immediate family I grew up with in the morning. Which was lovely, and we all got our children together. I'm actually, just as a side thing, I'm actually recording an Instagram live as well right now for everybody who wants to jump into Hero for Life. You'll be able to check that out. But caught up with a whole bunch of my family and their kids, because we have a growing well of grandchildren that are nice. Coming up through the ranks.
Yes.
Which was lovely. Got some amazing bagels and pancakes. Yeah. And did all the delicious things, and then made homemade pizzas for nice. Dinner with Nat's family as well. So they came around to our place, which was awesome. So beautiful. It was a massive sundae of carbicide, which delicious.
Death by carbicide. That's a good way to go, I think. I love that.
It really sparked all the wonderful, delicious things that I could possibly have hoped for. And I got the most typical Father's Day gift you could possibly imagine.
Good. Undies, socks?
A pair of slippers.
Very nice. Very nice.
But Natty also got me a really great gift, which is going to be like a visit to a Scandinavian like bathhouse. So it's like a hot sauna, and you get to kind of do, cold dunks and all that kind of stuff, which is, she knows, like I've been begging her for an actual sauna and a drop pool for some time, but this is the next best thing.
This is the next best thing. Yeah. Oh man, that's killer. Well, hey, so guys, today we always try to pick a topic for the show. And as you guys know, Paulie and I love to kind of deviate and walk on tangents and kind of see where the show goes, kind of like a song. You know, we always come back to the chorus, but we like to see where the verses take us. And today the chorus of the show will be morning routines, and we're going to explore the kind of morning routines that work for us, the different morning routines we've tried in the past, how to optimize your morning as well, to prepare you for the day, and all the little intricate ways that you can do that as well. But Paulie, without further ado, my friend, should we why don't we speak about the benefits of the morning routine first before we go into the nitty-gritty?
Yeah, sure thing. So for me, the benefits, firstly, let me just start by saying my experience of a solid, strong morning routine is everything to set up for a powerful day. If I have a solid, empowering morning routine, firstly, I feel like I'm just ready to take on the day. And also, if I'm productive first thing in the morning, I don't feel the pressure and the load to take on so much in the rest of the day. It's so easy for you to become a slave to the outside world from the moment you wake up, if you're not conscious about it. And I remember interviewing somebody, I forget where it was, but the quote was, if you don't make your own mind up, someone else will make your mind up for you.
Mm.
And that starts the moment you wake up in the morning. So many of us are scrolling through social media the very first moment that we wake up in the morning. And the second you do that, you have no power over what goes into your head. So I suppose the first thing I would say is are you conscious of what you're not doing first thing in the morning as opposed to what you are? Because the general standard is you wake up and you start scrolling throughout social media, which means you have no power of what's going into your head.
Yes, mate. They're strong words, and I love that because it's true. I think sometimes the wake up call, I think, I'm not sure, perhaps we can talk a bit about this, but I think sometimes people tend to view a morning routine as something synonymous only or exclusively with waking up early. But it doesn't have to be about the time of day necessarily, but it's more about what you're doing in the moments, in the kind of like the first 90 minutes, you know, the time you wake up, because it does set you up for the day. And, you know, I was listening to Mark Zuckerberg went on Joe Rogan recently, and he was talking about how busy his life is. And he was saying that, you know, you don't even have to be the founder of Facebook that to have a life, a reactionary life where your entire life is just putting out spot fires. You know, and there's no shortage of things to fix in this day and age. But for fulfillment to ensue, you know, and for happiness to be there and progress to be there, you've got to feel like you're moving the needle along in your own life. You're building something, you're working towards something, you're advancing, you're gradually getting better at something. And unfortunately, you have to be reactionary in life, you know. But if you just do that all day, every day, you'll start to feel, you know, what we hear all the time, stuck. I don't know who I am anymore. I'm just burnt out. You know, these are kind of big, broad phrases and expressions that to me kind of sum up that feeling that life isn't changing and I'm just groundhogging, you know, my entire existence. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And that's why, you know, so many people will say the first thing that they do when they wake up in the morning is they jump on their emails and they figure out what they can fix.
Yes.
And if you start to kind of create your mindset and frame in and around how can I put out fires, then where do you think you're going to learn to continue to cultivate that mindset? You're going to continue having that that mindset of putting out fires. What if you were to create a different reality for yourself first thing in the morning? And yourself and I know Tom, you've been doing a lot of work first thing in the morning. I'd love to hear a little bit about the little routine that you've crafted, that you've settled on, that has really, really given you the best opportunity to set yourself up for the rest of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so for me, the morning routine starts the night before, because if I'm really buggered, you know, and sloppy because I ate really late, and so I just don't get a good morning routine in, and I fall back to sleep, you know. So I typically have kind of a 3-2-1 thing. My last meal will be kind of 3 hours before I go to sleep. This hasn't been happening as much, but, you know, we can dream. Technology, you know, turning the electricity and the social media off 2 hours before, although it's kind of not been happening recently. And then 1 hour before, it's just Siobhan and I are talking, or we're talking about ideas and so forth. But we like to kind of cuddle our dogs and stuff and hang out on the couch. But the main thing for me there is fasting 3 hours before sleep. I just feel so awake, and my mind is so clear off a fast. It's just wonderful. It's just, you're just so clear-headed, so you kind of wake up quite alert. You know, it takes you a bit of time to get up, but it's pretty good. So so for yesterday, my final meal was at about 4:30, and then I fell asleep at about 9:30, 10. And that's just something that I've kind of practiced a bit. So then I'm up just before 5, and I'll let the dogs out, and they'll go for a pee and so forth. And then when they come back in, By around 5 to 5:15, I'm getting into my first task of the day, which is either usually movement or journaling. And it's changed a lot since I started doing this. But movement is to stay awake, so I don't have to jump on 10 coffees. And then journaling is just, my mind is kind of often filled with ideas, usually influenced by dreams from the night before and so forth, that I just like to write down. And it gets me into my pattern of writing. And then I'll either decide to do either reading or writing or a combination of the two thereafter. So today has been 4 hours of reading because I have a bit of a slow day today. Finished a book, which ironically enough was the 5 a.m. Club, and started a new book. But most of the time, it's just to know for sure that every single day I'm going to get the things in that matter the most to me, which is reading and writing. I work from home, so I know I'm going to get one-on-one time with my partner, and that's obviously a really important way to fill my cup up. But if I'm not reading and writing consistently, I start to feel drained of life, and like my soul is in need of that replenishment. So it's a selfish thing, but it makes me feel abundant, like I can give back throughout the rest of the day.
Yeah, love that. And the main thing that I glean from that is identifying what gives you the fuel to be you. You know that reading and writing gives you that fuel to continue to thrive throughout the day. That's a wonderful thing, and it may be something completely different for somebody else, but really knowing and acknowledging what gives you the true sense of who you are gives you the ability to be able to move through and move forward. So love that. Yeah, that's great.
And that's a great point as well. And I think oftentimes the trouble that you can fall into, and I've certainly been this been here in the past, when you're kind of developing an evening routine or a morning routine, is to become very attached and rigid, with the things that you do. It's like, oh, I'm doing my reading right now. I have to get 50 pages in, and I have to get my 45-minute workout in, or else A, B, and C. And what I would suggest is flow with it, and let the morning routine manifest itself in front of you. Then you've just provided this space for that purpose to come through. One of the great ideas that David Data writes about when he's talking about how to find your purpose, he's like, it's actually very simple. If I locked you in a room for 3 days with nothing but a chair in there, and all of your pains and traumas and conditioning and worries and stresses and angst came up, after that, by the time it's kind of day two, tell me what that thing that you can't wait to do as soon as you get out of that room would be. And he's like, that's your purpose. And what it speaks to is the pursuit of trying to find a life's purpose is pointless because it changes all the time. So a purpose isn't something that you find, it's more or less something that you find out as you give yourself the space and time to let it come to you. So for me, a morning routine is very much like that. For some, last night I was gonna write, 1,000 words, so let's go for it. And this morning, I just couldn't put my books down. And I was like, okay, well, I clearly have to roll with this. Something beyond me is dangling the strings and moving me in certain ways. So I've got to do it.
Yeah, I love that. And it's giving yourself almost not like a direct prescriptive, minute to minute, but a framework to be able to work within, and then allowing yourself to go with it, which sounds great, mate. Really, really, really great.
It's a really good point, mate. I think if you give, I think there are parameters for freedom and creativity and so forth, but there should be so much unbounded freedom and limitless passion within those boundaries. From 7 till 8, I'm going to give myself me time. But whatever that is, I might jump right back into pottery, gardening. I might do whatever the fuck that I want to do, because it's just my time. It's not, I have to do this and I have to do this and I have to do this. So it's,
No, I agree. And you know, to touch on my kind of morning routines, often there is an element of exercise and movement in it, not an intensive bout of exercise. I suppose resistance training comes in later on in the morning, and I tend to always do that in the morning because that's when I feel the most productive in a physical sense. But I'm definitely not, you know, like as far as science is concerned, I don't, from what I understand, like your hormonal peak comes later on in the afternoon. I'm not that interested in that. I'm interested in what I'm going to get the most out of when it comes to my, you know, my mental and physical health, or my mental health first and foremost. I always go for a walk as close as I can to sunrise, and I'm usually listening to something that feeds my soul, in terms of, and sometimes it could just be feeding my mind as well. Something that's inspiring first thing in the morning. And we have the ability to be able to do all of this, you know. Once upon a time, first thing in the morning, we were at the behest of, you know, three major media outlets, and it was what was on TV or the radio at that particular time, and we had no other choice, you know. And now we actually get to choose what the input is, and that input can be, which leads me to my next point, is self-directed, and that can be, you know. Are we going to choose to be able to be to exercise what we're grateful for? Are we going to choose to journal about our dreams from the night before? Are we going to choose to flesh out our subconscious? All of these types of things, we have the power to be able to exercise, and we don't need to be, you know, on the pointy end of someone or something else's algorithm. We can create our own algorithm.
Mate, that is such a great point. I think it's perhaps a bit of a scary point for people initially, because when life is abundant and as liberating as it is in this day and age, it creates that responsibility, and I think for a lot of our lives, as you said before, even not even 50 years ago, there were only three stations to choose from to where you get your information and news from. Prior to that, religion, dominating cultures and which is essentially, for better or for worse, here's a belief system for you to live your life and be guided by. And now a lot of that is kind of being disregarded, which is great because it gives us our own ways to kind of cultivate that for ourselves. But it's also very scary because it's like, well, now I'm alone in this universe. But what I would say in the very beginning, akin to kind of what you're saying, is I may not know if this is the first time you've ever even heard about a morning routine or about optimization in the morning and so forth, and you don't even know where to begin. Begin with something that just makes you feel good, and then start to develop a kind of awareness of comparison of things that are beginning to make you feel better, and then better, and beyond that, and then beyond that. And it's going to take you down wonderful paths of listening to podcasts, audiobooks, maybe silence, I mean, that's kind of been our journey as well. Hey.
Absolutely. And I think it's great to be able to tap into what intrinsically makes you feel, you know, good about yourself, good about your own reality. And it's also good to couple it sometimes with science to be able to guide you as to what's going to spark productive thoughts and behaviors in my mind. What is going to make me most primed to, be focused for the next 90 minutes, you know, having a cold shower in the morning or an ice bath if you have it available to you. These are things that put the right amount of stress under your mind and your body to be able to create that ability to elevate the right hormones and chemicals in your body, so you can then actually release and create the behaviors that we're talking about.
So, Paulie, do you want to take us through, do you kind of have a morning routine that you work off right now, or have you just kind of ingrained things that you try to get in most of the time? Or how does it look for you?
So for me, I suppose I have a framework, like I was talking about before, of things that I like to get in. Cold exposure is one of them. The more research I'm doing is understanding that putting your body under a certain level of stress. And there's a great study that came out in the last couple of years. Her name's Wendy Suzuki, I think. And she talks about how there was a control study, and then there were different participants who were actually exposed to different level, like a very, very clear stressful situation. As a result of that, they were actually able to, after that, be so much more focused on a task at hand than not. And I think the way they were placed under stress was being put under like job interview-ish or job evaluation style circumstances. Now, that's like a mental stress, but the same chemical production can be achieved by doing it through cold exposure. You know,
Yes,
you're
yes,
still
yes.
elevating you know, these levels of chemicals and hormones in your body, so you can actually create that focus. So I'll always have access to that, always having access to natural sunlight as well. I like to, if I can, and it's not always possible, I always need to be able to see my children,
Love it.
possibly, you know, be part of getting them ready to for school or walking them to school. If I can, I'll nip home and see them and give them a cuddle in between meetings. I fast in the morning, so I try my best to, when I wake up, I'll have about 700, 800 mils of water. And then I'll wait the longest I possibly can to have my first coffee. Now, in that
Cool.
period of time, I will go through a period of doing some journaling and introspective focus. And that generally is just about kind of reframing my mind about what I am grateful for. And that just gives me a really, really wonderful exercise. And like I said, a frame for me to be able to take on the rest of my day in that kind of glass half full perspective. And it works for me. I really, really love it. It gives me a wonderfully productive take on the rest of the day. And I feel the difference between that. Seeing if I've missed out on anything. Like I said, I do a more formal, structured form of training as well later on in the morning. And I try to get, say, like at least a 90-minute block of productive work done in the morning as well.
Yep, beautiful, mate. Well, I think it's also important, as you said before, to speak about what the science says is best. I mean, you and I are both, giant fans of Dr. Huberman, who's a neuroscientist at Stanford. He kind of speaks a lot about this, just with sun exposure in the morning and movement, delaying the consumption of coffee about 90 minutes or so after waking, which is something that I do not do, by the way. I'm like, fucking coffee straight away.
Oh no, it's bloody hard.
Oh, it's
It's
so
bloody hard.
hard, man. Yeah, I could go a very long time without eating. It's not a major thing for me. I love to eat, but I'm happy to push that back. But just that buzz of getting that caffeine, and sitting down to read before the birds start chirping, when you can see oh, it's just the best. It's just the absolute best.
It is amazing. And let's just shine a light just for a moment on why do you find that moment before the birds are chirping? Why do you find it such a special time in the morning?
I mean, it's just so silent. That's really what it is. I think when I'm up, everyone else is asleep. The sun's still asleep. And it's just a time where I feel so free and available to what the world can offer me, whether that's in a book. A lot of the times, not with the past kind of three or four books I've read, but most of the time I'm reading people who have long since passed. And it kind of it brings in a lot of awe. So I'll often go out and I'll, be looking up at the stars before, just to take a moment to remind myself of how vast this place is, And when I'm that clear-headed and calm, and I start reading from someone who, died 100 years ago, all the way down to, Stoist books, 1,000+ years ago. It just reminds me of what's really important in life, which is something that I forget every day. As soon as the day wakes up, and then it's like, well, I'm stressed about all different sorts of things, and I forget, because I'm a human being. But if I don't have that moment, in the morning where it's just for me, it's I feel it, dude.
I think that's a great point. Having a morning routine sometimes is a wonderful way to remind yourself of the things that are important. And I feel like our minds are very susceptible first thing in the morning. So if we can be purposeful about how we feed our minds and our brains first thing in the morning, like I said before, that primes our brains for the day to come. And if you do that enough times, bit by bit, then slowly but surely, as you wake up and you continue to wake up, there will be an expectation within your mind to be able to look at the world in a certain light.
I mean, and it's different for everyone, isn't it? Like, our routines are different, and it depends on your lifestyle and what you enjoy and what you want to do, and Robin Sharma in the 5 a.m. Club speaks about the 20-20-20 rule, and he says 20 minutes of movement. So if you're up at kind of 4:45, by 5 you can hit the routine, which is 20 minutes of movement, 20 minutes of reflection, and 20 minutes of growth. And it gives you different ideas. It could be yoga and training, or whatever you can do to breathe hard and sweat in the first 20 minutes, meditation or journaling, which is obviously, you and I, that's a big thing for us, and then reading and writing, whatever it is. For me, probably one of the reasons why I preferred CrossFit over F45 is because I like long, hard workouts, and I like that in my morning routine. I prefer to read for 2 hours and then write for 2 hours. I can't do the quick change up, but you might be someone who's completely different, and you might like to get pitter patter and all these different things in, so you feel abundant by the time you sit down for that first meeting in the morning. But like Paulie was saying, a morning routine is a framework, but you've got all sorts of wonderful things that you can do to make it your own personal morning routine.
Definitely. And I think whatever you're trying to achieve out of it, very, very rarely in the morning are you trying to achieve like a winding down process because you've just woken up. You're probably looking to be a little bit more focused and productive for the day, which can lead us probably for another conversation to an evening routine and how we can go about kind of being purposeful about that. But ultimately, I think it comes back down to really, really just acknowledging the foundational principle behind what a morning routine is. And it's understanding that we have the power within ourselves to be able to direct our mindset and our bodies to whatever we choose for it to do. We don't have to be a slave to whatever is out there. We can always bring it back in. We can always be really, really considered about, hey, where do I actually want my energy to be directed for the next hour, 2 hours of my day?
Mate, that's a great way to finish. That's awesome. I think it's motivating, and I think we're not I use this analogy all the time, and I apologize if I sound like a broken record, but when concepts are new to you, or when you're starting something new, and I kind of base this off how I feel. I'm not like a kind of cold turkey person, or it kind of takes me a long time to get into things. But using the analogy of, not seeing yourself as trying to climb to the top of Mount Everest just yet, but just trying to get to base camp. A morning routine for you might be waking up half an hour earlier, or even at the same time, but just with a bit more intention. Just taking taking the first 10 minutes to just wake up intentionally, as opposed to going on your phone, and then you go on your phone, and then and see it, see where it takes you. You know, start to explore different ways of living, because you obviously start to explore different identities of who you can be.
Definitely. Tiny habits is definitely the way to go. It makes it achievable and sustainable in the long term. Mm. And just understanding that, like you said before, you can wake up in the same time, but understanding that there is an intention behind what you're doing with your wake up. Generally speaking, we have places to be first thing in the morning. But if you create intention behind your morning, you might realize that you've identified gaps in your morning. And if you're a little bit more kind of, there's a framework behind it, then all of a sudden you can actually identify gaps that you can then give to yourself with. And I've noticed this a lot with the dads and the mums that I work with. We'll sit down and we'll go through their mornings, and you know, at one point, you know, we'll be breaking it down, and then at a point, we'll just kind of identify and acknowledge, hey, there's actually an 8 minute gap there for you to be able to give to yourself in amongst all of this chaos in between getting the kids ready for school, this, that, and the other, you know, going and then heading off to work yourself. What if you were just to step outside, embrace the sunshine, and do some deep breathing? I don't know, for 2 minutes, 90 seconds. What can that do? Well, it can change your entire physiology,
yes,
for starters, and then give you a platform to be able to take and sip in the rest of the day in a much more empowered way.
Yeah, yeah, dude. I mean, especially in this day and age, we're just in the forest all the time, and we forget that A, we're in a forest, and B, that we can take ourselves out to see the forest that we're in, and then decide which forest that we want to be in. And those little pattern interrupts are just everything. You know, I mean, A, they can change your physiology, but they can change your entire life's course. If you just take yourself out and just go, am I majoring in the minors right now? Is this really relevant? You know, everything. So absolutely.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thank you, Tommy. Thanks very much for the chat.
Always, always.
And thank you.
Thank you, Instagram Live. First and last name.
Yeah, appreciate it. And looking forward to having another chat with you next time.
Next time. All right, dude. Talk to you soon.
Bye.